I'm going to talk to you today about feasting on God's goodness. You know, that's our theme today, feasting, and I rather like feasting. How about you? Feasting's one of my favorite hobbies in life, and I'm very serious when I say that. There's a saying that goes this way. Maybe you've heard it before. It says, God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. Some of you know it. Let me say it again. God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. Now, I am persuaded, fully convinced and persuaded that this statement of God is true. In fact, the Bible says this about God. My personal experiences persuade me of His goodness. Now, I want to give you the definition of goodness. It means the quality or state of being good. Now, I realize I'm going to make some statements that not everybody will be fully convinced of. I hope that you are by the time we're finished. But I'm making statements that I believe, that I have come to believe through God, knowledge of God's Word and through my relationship of God. Here's what I believe about goodness. I believe that all goodness ultimately originates with God. Now, people have different views of God all across the world. Some see God as harsh and unkind. Some see Him as partly good and partly bad. They kind of don't know which way God goes. Some see Him as old and angry and ready to snap in anger at any moment. Others see Him as the one who spins off a tornado in the midst of a community to get the people's attention and to pronounce judgment. And a few see Him for who I believe that He really is. He is good, and He is kind, and He is gracious. That's what I believe and what I understand about God, and that's what I have personally experienced. But sometimes through experiences and other people's opinions, and sometimes even what preachers preach or what we conceive, our view of God can become very narrow and very limited. Folks, let me just tell you without going into it, God is multifaceted. To try to put God in a little box and trying to get God to fit in to what I believe about Him just simply doesn't work. Here's what Psalms 119 and verse 68 says. I believe this. It says that you are good and do only good. That's what the Bible says in testimony about God. Now, you may ask this question, and a lot of people are. It says, if God is so good, what about all the problems and the disasters that are in the world? Isn't God behind all this? You know, a lot of people believe that God's behind every disaster. In fact, what is it some of these insurance companies call these things? Acts of God? Well, the answer is, no, God is not behind these things. In fact, what the Bible says, and you got to realize, I'm a preacher, it's a good thing that I believe in the Bible, amen? The Bible says and explains to me that God never wanted mankind to experience the heartache that we are currently experiencing. There may be something going on in your life that's out of control. And I don't think it was God's ever His intention that we suffer in the dimensions that we are today. Why do I believe that? Because in the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, He said it numerous times. He said, this is good. Now, I'm going to do something I typically do not do on a Sunday morning. I'm going to read a number of scriptures out of Genesis, more than I normally would in a Sunday morning. But I want you to see something, and then I'm going to explain to you where things went wrong, but it didn't change the fact that God is good. Genesis chapter 1, and I'm going to begin in verse 1, says this. It says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. Verse 4, and God saw that the light was good. Then He separated the light from darkness, and God called the light day and the darkness night. And evening passed and morning came, marking the first day. By the way, let me just say another thing that I firmly believe about Genesis and the creation. I believe that these are literal 24-hour days that God is now creating. It says in verse 6, "Then God said, let there be a space between the waters to separate the waters of the heavens from the waters of the earth." And that is what happened. God made this space to separate the waters of the earth from the waters of the heavens. And God called the space sky, and evening passed, and morning came, marking the second day. Then God said, let the waters beneath the sky flow together into one place, so dry ground may appear. And that is what happened. God called the dry ground land and the waters sea. Here it is again. And God saw that it was good. Verse 11 says, then God said, let the land sprout with vegetation, every sort of seed-bearing plant and trees that grow seed-bearing fruit. These seeds will then produce the kinds of plants and trees which they came. And that is what happened. The land produced vegetation, all sorts of seed-bearing plants and trees with seed-bearing fruit. Their seeds produced plants and trees of the same kind. Here it is. And God saw that it was good. How many of you are beginning to see a pattern in creation? And it says, an evening passed and morning came, marking the third day. Verse 14, then God said, let lights appear in the sky to separate the day and the night. Let them mark off the seasons, the days and the years. Let these lights in the sky shine down on the earth. And that is what happened. God made two great lights, the larger one to govern the day and the smaller one to govern the night. He also made the stars. Some of you, seriously today, people are really wondering, how did this world come about? I am reading to you what I believe is the truth about how creation came about, that there is a supreme being, His name is God, and He created this earth and He put everything in order the way He wanted it. So we could enjoy it, by the way. Verse 17 says, God set these lights in the sky to light the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. It's good that we have daytime. It's good that we have nighttime. God created the sun. God created the moon. God created the stars. And evening passed and morning came in verse 19, marking the fourth day. Then God said, let the waters swarm with fish and other life. And all the fishermen said, amen. Let the skies be filled with birds of every kind. So God created great sea creatures and every living thing that scurries and swarms in the water, and every sort of bird, each producing offspring of the same kind. And God saw that it was good. I mean, God was happy about creation. And I got to say it again, unless you miss this. When God created this earth, beloved, He created it for mankind. He didn't create it for Himself to enjoy. I mean, He's got eternity past, eternity. I mean, He's got eternity to enjoy. God's got everything. Do you understand that the creation of the earth is for you and I? And these people that are wanting to deny that we have a supreme being that created it and denying that, you know, that God created these special flowers and all these things and they just happen is crazy. Right? Verse 22, it says, then God blessed them saying, oh, I better back up. I missed one of the most important parts. Verse 21 says, so God created sea creatures and every living thing that scurries and swarms in the water and every sort of bird, each producing offspring of the same kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God blessed them saying, be fruitful and multiply. Let the fish fill the seas. Let the birds multiply on the earth. And the evening passed and the morning came, marking the fifth day. Then God said, I like this. Folks, let me just tell you, it is absolutely important that we understand that we are created in the image of likeness in God, and the words that we speak are so powerful. Oh, I'm working on that. I'm working on making sure that if I can't say something right, kind, and righteous, I'm working on it. I didn't say I was there. I'm restraining. I'm getting better by God's grace. So God told him to multiply. Verse 24 says, then God said, let the earth produce every sort of animal, each producing offspring of the same kind. Livestock, small animals that scurry, how you like that? Scurry along the ground, and wild animals. And that is what happened. And God made all sorts of wild animals, livestock, and small animals, each able to produce offspring of the same kind. You getting it now? And God saw that it was good. Then God said, Let us make human beings in our image. God said this, and He did it. Folks, you understand today that we are created in the image and likeness of God? Some of you said, man, you don't know me. You wouldn't say that. Oh, yeah, I do. At the core of your being and who you are and the personality and the being that you are is precious to God, and God created you. Sure, there might be some problems. You might have some things that are not right and some emotional challenges. Things hadn't gone right. But I'm going to tell you, you are special to God, every one of you. And it is the goodness of God that created mankind. So God created human beings in His own image. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them. Praise the Lord. I'm glad He just didn't just create females, and He didn't, because if He just created females, guys, we wouldn't be here. Aren't you glad He didn't just create males? What a boring world it would be. Probably be a grouchy world too. Verse 28 says, then God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. By the way, my quiver is full. That was funny. Fill the earth and govern it. Reign over the fish of the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the animals that scurry along the ground. Did you hear what God said? He said when He created man and female, He said, govern the earth. And that is critical to us understanding the goodness of God. Then God said, look, I've given you every seed-bearing plant throughout the earth and all the fruit trees for your food. And I have given you every green plant as food for all the wild animals, the birds in the sky, and all the small animals that scurry along the ground, everything that has life, and that is what happened. And this final verse in the beginning of creation says this that I'm going to read today, verse 31. Then God looked over all He made, and He saw that it was very good. And evening passed, and morning came, marking the sixth day. And by the way, I recently preached a message about the importance of resting one day out of seven. That's another message. You ought to get it if you didn't hear it. Now, here's what I want you to see. That in the beginning, originally, when God created everything, it was good. You ought to turn to your neighbor and say, man, it was good. He created good things out of who He is. See, I believe the eternal nature of God is good. I believe He is good and that He extends goodness to mankind. Now, are you ready for a change of thought? You see, the problems in our world are man-related, not God. See, some of you thought that God was the problem and that God is the problem. And I know people really genuinely struggle with this, but I want you to notice when God created everything, everything was good. God was happy about it. He was happy He created man. He said, here, I'm giving you the earth. Go govern it. Rule over it. Have a good time. Enjoy yourselves. The Bible tells us that in the third chapter of Genesis, a problem arose. And the Bible tells us that the problems began when man disobeyed God. Not when God got mad one day. Not when God decided, I've had enough of people. I've had enough of everybody. I'm uptight. I'm upset. You know, I'm ready just to destroy something. No, the problems developed when man disobeyed God. Here's the story. Genesis chapter 2, verses 15 through 17 says, the Lord placed the man in the Garden of Eden to tend and to watch over it. Everybody say, tend and watch over it. But the Lord God warned him. He said, you may freely eat of the fruit of every tree in the garden except the tree of knowledge of good and evil. He said, if you eat its fruit, and by the way, it was not an apple. He said, you shall surely die. So God warned Adam and Eve. We don't know how much time had elapsed from the time God started creation to the time He created man. We don't know how long they were in the garden before this big problem developed. But God had warned Adam. He said, if you eat from this fruit, He said, you will experience things that you don't want to experience. Have any of you ever encountered or experienced something in life that you didn't really want to? Let me just tell you, I have. Are there any honest people here today? There's a lot of honest people here today. You see, the problem developed in Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. It says that the serpent was the shrewdest of all the wild animals that the Lord God had made. He was very shrewd. And what he did one day, he came to the woman, and we could go off into a whole nother teaching here. We can't do that. There is not time. He began to question God. He asked the woman, and this is the same temptation that he brings to me and you. Did God really say? And he went on, they started talking about that tree. I don't know if Eve was just walking by one day and he was over there and thought, hey, this is my opportunity. I'm just going to whisper in her ear. I don't know the scenario. But Satan began to question God and said, has God really said? And so Eve enters into this dialogue. Folks, listen, and I'm preaching to myself, I'm preaching to all of you today. How many of you know that when you start reasoning and talking and having conversation with the serpent, you're already in trouble? Because he's going to try to get you to reason and rationalize. He's going to try to do that to me. How many of you know our problem, folks, is not a lot of these things around us. It's right here between these two little things that are stuck on the side of your head. It's in your brain. And he still is the same. His tactics have not changed. He is still reaching out to mankind, tempting mankind, and questioning. Did God really say what he meant when he said what he said? Yes. And Satan said in verse 4, he said, you know, you've told me that you'll die, but let me just tell you something. You won't die. You won't die, Eve. And let me tell you, we learned this. We've been talking about this some in our Wednesday studies. We've been talking about how he came and he tempted them and he began to question God about, you know, truth and about right. And he told a half lie. Satan will tell you part of the truth. The reality is Satan knows the Word of God better than we Christians sometimes. He'll come and give you a little scripture, and then he'll come and give you a little reason and say, now, no, you really won't die. Here's part of the truth. He said, you'll be like God. You'll know good and evil. Let me just tell you, folks, Adam and Eve did not know evil before they ate of the fruit. Man, there's so many things I want to say today. There's just not time. But verse 6 says, the woman was convinced after the reasoning session. She saw that the tree was beautiful and its fruit looked delicious, and she wanted the wisdom that it would give her. Verse 7 says that the rest of that verse says she partook of the fruit. And then, you know, again, I'd like to go off on this a little while, but there's just not time. Adam, it says, and she gave to Adam and he ate. Adam you kind of get the impression Adam was just there and kind of said, okay, whatever, honey. Now, I could read a lot of things into that. I'm not going to, because this message really is about feasting on the goodness of God. But what I want you to see, and let me bring you back to the message. The message is this. This is what I want to convey. I want to convey to you that God is good, and that out of God's goodness, He created a world for me and you to enjoy. And there was a little oops. There was a problem. Really, to call it oops is not good. There was a real big problem. God had said, don't eat of this fruit. The day you do, there's going to be big problems. And they did it. In other words, man disobeyed God. And mankind has experienced everything that God said that he would experience. And mankind has struggled to understand God's goodness from that time until now. Folks, I want to tell you something. I'm going to be God's defender today. Not that he needs me to be his defender, but I'm going to do it. You see, all the problems of mankind in the earth, the wars, the tornadoes, the bad economies, and all the things that we could talk about today lay at the feet of mankind and not at God. Now, I know some of you are not convinced of that. Some of you will say, well, if God is so good, why doesn't he stop all the bad that is in the earth? It's a very reasonable question, isn't it? I'll tell you why. Because God put man, he put you and me, not me, not him, me and you. He put man and woman in the earth to rule over the earth. In other words, to tend it and to take care of it. We aren't doing the best of jobs, my friend. Nevertheless, God created this world for us. He gave it to us to be the rulers over, to have dominion over, to tend, to take care of it. Come on now, I'm not trying to go down on humanity, but I mean, you know, we're just not doing the best of jobs right now. See, we're God, do something about the economy. God's saying, why don't you people do something about the economy? Because we got a lot of problems in this country. We've got greed. We've got people who have motives. We've got people who don't want the economy fixed. We've got people who want the economy to clash. I mean, man is the problem, and that's what I'm trying to say, and not God. I'm telling you, folks, God has, He has rules. He has, and He has guidelines by which when He created this earth, He put this into motion. And it's for our good that we do what He said, because if we do it the way He said to do it, by the way, He said, don't get into too much debt. I'm not going to go there today. By the way, our country just recently maxed out its credit card. Praise the Lord. But God's the problem. Why didn't God step in? God told us not to do some of the things we're doing. God is good, my friends. The problem does not lay at the feet of God. It lays at the feet of man. You get mad at me if you want to, but if you'll think about this honestly and go back and study some of these things a little later, then He kind of puts the responsibility back on us, doesn't He? You know, it's easy to say, God did me wrong. And it's doubly easy to say, you know why I don't go to church and hang around with those Christians? They're just a bunch of hypocrites. Isn't that really easy? Isn't that easy? The only problem is it won't hold water. As if the person who's offended has never offended anyone. Well, Jesus addressed that. He said, take the beam out of your own eye so you can see the speck or the problem that's in your brother's eye. God is good, folks. I am persuaded of it. And I'm persuaded not just because I see it in the Word, but just I know how God deals with me. And some say, yeah, He's good to you because you're a preacher. No, I'm just like you. In fact, God, in one sense, holds me to a higher standard. Persuaded that God is good, and I'm also persuaded that the problems in the earth are man-related and not God. Yeah, but He could intervene, preacher. He could do something about it. Well, here's another reason why God doesn't intervene in some of these things that are going on. It is because He gave mankind a free will to do as He pleases. Otherwise, He would have created a bunch of robots, and we would just be doing as He programmed us to do. God, listen, if we're created in the image and the likeness of God, you have a need to be loved, don't you? Some of you may be tough now and say, no, I don't want anybody to love me. I don't care if people love me. You do. And you deep down in your heart, you want that and you need that. Guess what? God does too. And let me tell you, if God had created us all like a bunch of robots, guess what? That wouldn't be love. There's no kindness and there's no goodness in that. You see, our lack of understanding of who God is and how He made me and you does not change the fact that He is good. Do you remember? God said, let there be light. God said, let there be all these little creatures in the sea. Let there be the sky. Let there be the sun. Let there be the moon. And God stepped back on the sixth day and said, it is good. God is good, folks. And all the time, God is good. And I'll tell you, I'm a little upset today because I realize that the devil has backed some of you into a corner and he's convinced you that your problems are God-related. You see, at some point, this topic that I'm talking to you about, feasting on the goodness of God, you know what really the issue is? It's faith is the issue. It really does boil down to faith. In other words, whose report are you going to believe? Now, I can't explain everything about God. In fact, I'd like to, but I can't. The Bible says that God's ways are beyond man. I can't explain why some of the things that are happening in our world are happening the way that they are. I wish that I could. But He is God, and I am His servant. Other than this I do know. Mankind has strayed from God's original plan for him. And listen, I love you, but we are suffering the consequences for it. Don't be mad at God today. Don't be mad at anybody, in fact. Just realize that God is good and He wants you to feast on His goodness. And regardless of what's going on in the world, He can see you through a bad situation. Oh, preacher, do you understand what's really going on in the economy? Oh, I understand. I understand that I had to encourage two of our members this week who came to me and said, by the way, I was just laid off of my job. And it was the last thing I expected. Yeah, I understand these things. I understand what is going on in this world today. And so does God. But I believe this. I believe what I'm talking to you about boils down to faith. Whose report are you going to believe? Folks, have you realized lately that the world and that the stream of the world is not going the way of God? Have you determined that yet? Realized that? I've said this recently, and I'll say it again. If you're going to be a Christian, it's going to be like going upriver in a downstream world. You know, most of society now, they're getting weary and tired, and they're saying, heck, I'm tired of the fight. I'm just going to give up. I'm going to do what I want to do, and I hope when Jesus comes, or I hope when I die, that He gives me a free ticket to heaven. I don't think that's the best that God has for us. You see, I just think we have to make a decision. So what does the Bible say about the goodness of God? In fact, what does God say about His own goodness? Well, number one, the Bible says that God does not lie. The Bible says that. It testifies that God does not lie. In Titus chapter 1, verse 2, it says this: "This truth gives them confidence that they have eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promised them before the world began." See, it's like I said. You can believe your friends who really don't want anything to do with God, who've been burned, who've been hurt, who are mad and who are angry. You can believe them if you want to. I tell you, I think we need to believe the report of the Lord if we're going to experience the goodness of God. And I don't know about you, but I want the goodness of God. I want and need the goodness of God. So I'm making a decision to put faith in what God says in His Word, realizing that this record has been true for many, 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 many years. Hebrews 6 and 18 says, "So God has given both His promises and His oath. These two things are unchangeable because it is impossible for God to lie." See, we think that because we can lie, we can distort the story. How many of you know a lie if you only just tell your version or your side of it? That's a lie. See, what we want to do is we want to put God in that little box too. Said, well, now I can, so God apparently can. I just don't trust God. And there's a part of me can understand why people would question that if they've been through hardships and been through challenges. But that's where faith comes from. That's where faith and belief and trust in God and what He said all through these thousands of years and seeing the confirmed stories. That's where faith comes in. I believe it's impossible for God to lie. If God says, "I'll do something," He's not like some of us. If He says He's going to be there at a certain time, God will be there. God says He's going to do something a certain way, He'll do it. Let's don't narrow God down to our image of who we are. Let's don't reduce Him to His creation that has fallen and has problems. Let's not reduce God to that place. Number two, here's what the Bible says about God's goodness. I've already read this verse, but I think I want to read it again. Psalms 119 and verse 68 says, "You are good and do only good." Romans 2 and 4 says this, thirdly, "Don't you see how wonderfully kind and tolerant and patient God is with you? Does this mean nothing to you? Can't you see that His kindness or His goodness is intended to turn you from your sin?" See, I'm going to tell you what a lot of people believe about God. They believe when God wants to get your attention, He gets out the big beaten stick, and He just beats the snot out of you. And a lot of preachers across the country and across the world just stand up every Sunday and confirm that. Sure, is there limits to grace? Yes. Is there limits to these things? Oh, yeah. I'm talking about somebody who's wanting to experience the goodness of God and is trying to move toward God. I'm not talking about people who just made up their mind, you know, and they don't mind telling you, "Oh, God's a liar. God did me wrong." And, you know, if God was a loving God, you know, when we say that, do you understand we are really quoting the words of Satan? If. What did He say to Jesus in Matthew chapter 4 when He questioned the integrity of God? If you're the Son of God, do this and do that. If. What did He say in Isaiah where He was questioning God? Hey, if. And He did a lot of I want this and I want that. Folks, He's still the same. Folks, when God wants to reach out to me and you, you know what He does? He extends His kindness. He extends His goodness. You see, our misunderstanding is twofold. We often image God in the way that we learned Him from our physical father, which in many cases is not a good one. Some of our fathers, especially in this past generation, just didn't know how to be loving and kind. They said, boy, when you get up in the morning, some of you remember this old school talk here, when you get up, you put them boots on, you pull them bootstraps up. Some of you were raised by daddies that said, real men don't cry. I must be a total wimp. Amen. You see, our misunderstanding is twofold. It's the one that I just mentioned. But here's where we really have a big misunderstanding. We fail to realize that there is a devil who created the original problem in the garden with Adam and Eve, and he's still creating big problems in the world and in our own lives today. That is our failure to recognize. It's easy to blame God. If God, if God this, if God that. How about, what about Satan, folks? See, if you go this far, then you got to really start taking God serious. If you start saying there's a devil, then that means I got to think about what I'm doing, what I'm saying, what I really believe. There is a devil, my friends, and he's still battling for the souls of man. That's what he was doing in the garden. That's what he was doing in Matthew chapter 4 when he was trying to get Jesus to yield to the temptation. And that's what he's still doing with me and you every day of our lives. When he comes to tempt us, he's wanting to pull us in a direction that's not good for us. He hadn't changed. This is our great misunderstanding today. It's how we image God. In fact, let me read John 10:10 to you. Boy, if there was ever a job description or a description of two entities, here it is. It says, the thieves are the devil. His purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. What I want to know is how God got this label. You preachers, watch what you're saying. See, some of you were raised by harsh, mean daddies, and you think God is that way, and you're teaching God's people that, and every time there's a problem and these things going on in our country right now, you think God's just mad. Oh, do I think God's going to judge the world one day? Oh, without a doubt. Well, how if he's a God of judge, can he be a God of love? Because he's God, and he's multifaceted. We're still trying to reduce God down to who we are, and we're trying to reduce Him down to our limited thinking and understanding. He is God. He's a God of grace. He's a God of goodness, and He's a God of kindness. Oh, but yes, He is going to judge the world one day. Does God have the ability to extend wrath? Yes, He does. But He's not like us. He's not like a loose cannon on Monday morning when things go bad. God is multifaceted. And I don't think any of these things change the goodness of God. I just think we have some misunderstandings. Let me tell you, number four, one reason we don't see the goodness of God is because, come on now, everybody say, go ahead and just say it in your heart before I say it. Say, I love you, Pastor. Yes, sir, I'm going to. See, we don't see the goodness of God because we're so busy all the time. I've preached it for years, and I don't think it slows anybody down. But I'm going to try again. Busyness is a killer. So what, preacher? I'm an American. I've got a demanding life, and you just a preacher and don't understand. Go ahead. You need to get that sermon on resting, though. Here's the acronym for busy. Brutally under Satan's yoke. Everybody go, ooh, the preacher told me I was under the yoke of Satan. When you run and gun all the time, when you burn the candle at both ends and you ignore what God says, you are, I'm sorry. Well, I better not say that again. You see, the busyness that we're involved in today keeps me and you from seeing the goodness of God that is all around us every day. The answered prayers. He ain't answered my prayer. Well, pray more then. He's answering prayers. He said, ask, and if it's according to my will, I'll answer it. He's bestowing blessings around us every day. For those of you who have lost your jobs, we're just going to believe that it is a closed door, that's it's a promotion for a new one. Amen? What about the beauty of nature that is all around us every day? Some of you are running and gunning. I mean, you got pedal to the metal. You're going. I tell you, I just love it. You greet, meet people, and I mean, they're just, and they got the cell phone thing going. I mean, man, they're just working. Don't you just love it? I've preached it for years. It hadn't slowed people down. I pass some of our members, and I'm like, get out of the way. They're going to run over me. The goodness of God. I'm preaching this because I want you to experience it. You know, since today we're talking about feasting, you know, this message is about feasting, and then some of us are going to go and have a feast after we get through here today. I thought this story about the atheist and the bear was an appropriate story. It says an atheist was taking a walk through the woods. What majestic trees, what powerful rivers, what beautiful animals, he said to himself. As he continued walking alongside the river, he heard a rustling in the bushes, and he turned to look, and he saw a 7-foot grizzly charging toward him. He ran as fast as he could up the path. Looking over his shoulder, he saw that the bear was closing in on him, and his heart was pumping frantically. I would be too. And he tried to run even faster. He tripped and he fell on the ground. He rolled over to pick himself up, but saw the bear raising his paw to take a swipe at him. At that instant, the atheist cried out, "Oh my God!" Time stopped. The bear froze. The forest was silent. It was then that a bright light shone upon the man, and a voice came out of the sky saying, "You deny my existence all these years. You teach others that I don't exist, and even credit creation to a cosmic accident. Do you expect me to help you out of this predicament? Am I to count you as a believer?" The atheist looked directly into the light. "It would be hypocritical of me to suddenly ask you to treat me as a Christian now. But perhaps you could make the bear a Christian." "Very well," said the voice. The light went out. The sounds of the forest resumed. Then the bear lowered his paw, bowed his head, and spoke, "Lord, bless this food which I am about to receive, for which I am truly thankful. Amen." Feasting. This bear is feasting on the goodness of God at the expense of an atheist. Let me just say, folks, in Psalms 107 in verse 31, it says, "Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness, for His wonderful works to the children of men." I think if I have any desire today, it is that we give thanks to the Lord for His goodness. Folks, let me tell you, I have found that when I purposely, not out of emotions, say thank you, Lord, there is a release. There is a response from God. Some of you don't give God praise for His goodness because you don't feel worthy. Oh, let me tell you something today, folks. I see the goodness of God in Jesus. I see the goodness of God in the cross. Because if you buy into what this Bible says about what happened to man in the Garden of Eden, that they disobeyed God, and they what the Bible says, they fell into sin. If you believe that, and if you're honest, and you're honest with yourself, and you're honest in the privacy of your heart, which is difficult to do. Sometimes I have to do that as well. You have to realize that you've got a fallen nature. We think things we shouldn't be thinking, and we know it. And we don't want to. We do things that we know we shouldn't do it. That's our fallen nature. Why do we do things we don't want to do? Because we've got a sin nature. Why do we say things that hurt other people? Because we've got a fallen nature. If you believe what the Bible says, that man fell after how many years had passed, we don't know. Then I got good news for you. Did you know that Jesus referred to the gospel as the good news? I've got good news for you. If you've got an honest and an open heart, thank God. Many, many years ago, someone told me about the gospel. And they told me that there was a good God who loved me, and would receive me and would take me in and would forgive my sins and would cast my sins far from me, and he'd never remember them again. I'm here to tell you, God didn't leave mankind in that fallen state. The goodness of God came in the form of his Son, Jesus Christ, and he came to this earth. He left heaven, and they beat him, and they abused him, and they accused him. And they put stripes on his back, and they crowned him with this thorn, and they pierced his side, and they beat him. Why? I think Jesus was just in the mood for a beating that day. He wanted to restore mankind. It's the goodness of God. Now, if you don't want the goodness of God, that's between you and God. It really is. It goes back to that garden. That's the reason this world is in the mess it's in, because people are making decisions that they want to make. Some of you don't come to God and you don't serve Jesus because you think you got to have it all together. I got to give up this and I got to give up that. Why don't you just not worry about that? You've been listening to too many preachers on that. You come to Jesus and you develop a relationship with him, and he'll give you the right kind of desires that you need. And he'll help you. He'll encourage you. He won't condemn you. He'll be good to you. When he knows you got something in your life that's not good for you, he'll be good to you. He'll show you how you can overcome it, and you'll even want to overcome it. I just see the goodness of God in the beginning. When he created the earth, he saw that it was good. I see at the cross, I see the goodness of God. Man, I'm stirred. God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. But how many of you know it doesn't stop there? What good is it? If I just become a Christian and Christ comes into my heart in this life, oh, that's not the end. Oh, folks, there is a heaven to be gained and a hell to be shunned. Oh, don't go on that hell stuff. I'm not today. I'm going on that heaven. And I want to tell you, this book ends by telling us that God has created a good place for us. A place where there's no pain and no sorrow, no more tears, no mourning. We don't have to be sad about losing loved ones. We don't have to be sad about war. We don't have to be sad about tornadoes and hurricanes and tsunamis and bad economies. It'll all be over. I see the goodness of God in heaven. And I'm just pretty excited about it. Let's stand this morning. I just want to pray for you. Man, I want you to celebrate in the goodness of God. What do you say we believe in the report of the Lord today? What do you say we believe in the goodness of God? What do you say we just feast once again on the goodness of God? If you'll let me, I'm going to pray for you today. And just, if you're not convinced that God is good, I'm just going to pray a prayer of blessing on you. Somebody said, now don't get too carried away. I don't know if I want too much of that God stuff. Yeah, you do. You want God. You just got that dual nature that says, well, I want God, but I want this. And you need some help. You need to be born again. And how many of you know you need more than being born again? You need to be filled with the Spirit of God. It's not enough just to get born again. That can be kind of, you know, difficult. You need the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. When everything's going on around you, if you choose, you can say yes to the right things. I'm just going to pray that your heart be filled with faith and that you believe the report of the Lord this morning, and then we're going to go and we're going to feast around the blessings of the Lord. Amen. Father, I don't know everything that's going on in the heart of your people today, but I pray that we would know the goodness of God this morning. That we would know that you are good all the time. Lord, I pray that those that have had bad experiences, Lord, that maybe feel like you could have prevented it or you could have stopped it, Lord, I just pray that you'll help them in their thinking and their understanding. Sure, Lord, you could stop anything. Lord, there are some things that you permit. And Lord, that's where we don't understand everything about you. But I pray you heal hearts. I pray you heal minds. I pray you heal emotions. I pray you restore today. That when we leave here today, all week long, and throughout our lives, we'll be thinking about the goodness of God. And folks, we'll recognize that there is a devil who is against us. And he's out to harm us. He's out to steal and kill and destroy. But you have come that we might have life and may have it more abundantly. I want to encourage you, if you don't know Christ, right where you stand, however you're receiving this message today, that you invite Christ into your life. That you let Him come into your life and love you, heal you, encourage you, lead you. And I just sense there are some folks here this morning that would like to do that. Let's bow our heads this morning. We're not going to embarrass you today, I promise. And I'm going to pray with you right where you're at today. If you say, I am ready to receive Christ, I want Him in my life, I want you to slip your hand up, hold it up real high, and we're going to pray with you this morning. Yes, dear, I see that hand. I see that hand. Anyone else this morning who say, yes, I want Christ. He'll take your sins. He'll cleanse you of them. He'll purify your mind. He'll give you a new life. He'll give you the future that you need. It won't always be easy. Is there anyone else this morning that says, I want Christ? Is there anyone that would say this morning, I know Christ, but I want to return to Him. Would you pray with me as well, Pastor? Could I see that hand as well? I see those hands. And God sees those hands. Well, here's what I'm going to ask us to do this morning. I'm going to ask us to all pray. And I want you to pray together with me. Even if you know the Lord, everything is fine with you and the Lord. You never know what's going on in the heart or mind of the person next to you. I want you just to pray with me. And if you mean this prayer, whether it's a prayer of salvation, you're being born again for the first time, or you are giving your heart to Jesus once again, you pray and believe God right now. God will restore and God will heal. Amen. Just repeat after me. Say, Dear God, I ask you to come into my life. I want you to be Lord of my life. Lord, forgive me of all my sins. I'm so sorry for my sins. But I receive you today. I make a fresh dedication to you today. And by your grace and by your help, I will serve you from this day forward. In Jesus' name.